All right, let's get ready because today we are going deep, deep inside ourselves.
Oh, deep.
Into the world of mitochondria.
The powerhouses.
You know,
Yes.
those tiny little things that keep us all going, keep everything running.
Absolutely.
You've got some super interesting cutting-edge research
Oh, yeah.
on how these little guys work,
Amazing.
especially this one protein called OPA1,
Fascinating stuff.
which turns out is way more important than
Martin.
scientists initially thought.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah. It really is amazing how much we're still learning about mitochondria.
Right.
You know, for a long time,
Yeah.
people thought they were just these static little beans just hanging out.
Little beans like,
Yeah, like kidney beans or something.
oh, just chilling.
Yeah, just chilling.
Whatever.
But now we know that they're constantly in motion, fusing, dividing, and
Wow.
this dynamic dance is absolutely crucial for our health.
It's like a little rave going on there.
It is a total rave.
So,
Before we get into all the details of OQ1 and what
yeah.
happens when it goes wrong,
Right.
can you give us like a really quick mitochondria 101?
Absolutely.
Because I think some people might need a refresher
Yeah.
on just how vital these little organelles are.
Absolutely.
Like, what do they actually do?
So think of mitochondria as the energy factories of our cells, right?
Okay.
They take the food we eat
Okay.
and the oxygen we breathe,
Gotcha.
and they convert that into usable energy,
Yeah.
which is a molecule called ATP.
Okay, ATP.
Yes. And the more energy a cell needs,
Yeah.
the more folds it'll have in its
Okay.
mitochondria or cristae.
Cristae.
Yeah, to increase the surface area.
Oh, so it can produce more.
Exactly. More energy production.
Okay.
So it's like adding extra production lines to crank out more ATP.
So you're saying that the more folds a mitochondria has,
Yeah.
the more energy it can
Yeah,
create.
more folds, more energy.
It's like having a factory with more production lines.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay, cool.
So, and this constant fusion and division of mitochondria
Right.
ensures that they can share resources, repair damage, and distribute energy throughout the cell.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's pretty cool.
So it's like this constant quality control check,
It
making sure
is.
all the powerhouses are like running smoothly, I guess.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. That's really helpful.
Yeah.
But you mentioned OP1 earlier. So
Yeah.
where does that fit into this whole picture?
So OP1 is key to this
Right.
whole fusion process, particularly within the inner membrane of the mitochondria.
Okay.
And what's really interesting is that it exists in different forms,
Okay.
kind of like building blocks, you
Okay,
know,
interesting.
that can be rearranged to perform different tasks.
Oh, so it's like Lego blocks almost.
Yeah, like
You can
Lego.
rearrange them to get
Yeah,
different functions.
exactly.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so these different forms are
Yeah.
called what, isoforms?
Isoforms, yeah.
Isoforms.
They help regulate the shape and function of mitochondria,
Gotcha.
making sure that they fuse properly.
Okay.
And this is where things get a little tricky
Okay.
because when there are mutations in the gene that codes for OPA1,
Right.
it can lead to a condition called dominant optic atrophy or DOA.
Dominant optic atrophy.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty serious.
It is a serious condition. It
Okay.
primarily affects the optic nerve,
Okay.
causing progressive vision loss.
And as the name
As the
suggests,
name suggests,
it's a dominant condition.
it is.
So even if you just inherit one copy of the mutated gene from one parent,
That's right.
you are likely to develop the disease.
You are.
So even if your other copy of the gene is perfectly healthy,
Sadly.
that one mutated copy can cause problems.
It can.
Wow.
And the symptoms usually start in childhood
Oh,
with
wow.
blurred vision, difficulty seeing
Oh,
colors.
that's tough, especially for kids.
It is. It,
So if OP1 is mainly involved in mitochondrial fusion
yeah.
and DOA affects vision,
Right.
right? Does that mean that the mitochondria in our eyes are like somehow different?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
So all cells have mitochondria, right?
Right.
But the ones in our eyes, specifically the optic nerve,
Yeah.
they're incredibly active and require a ton of energy to
Ooh.
transmit those visual signals to the brain.
So even a small little disruption
Yeah.
can have a huge impact.
Absolutely. A major impact on vision.
It's like if the power grid for a major city went down. Like the
Exactly.
consequences are enormous.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's
Okay.
a great analogy.
But from what we've been reading,
Yeah.
it seems like the story of OP1 might go beyond just vision problems.
You are absolutely right.
Right.
One of the most surprising things we've learned recently is that mutations in the OP1 gene can actually lead to a broader spectrum of neurological issues.
Whoa, wow.
We call it DOA plus.
DOA plus.
Yeah, DOA plus.
So it's like DOA, but with added complications.
Yeah, it's DOA, but with extra stuff.
Okay, now I'm really interested. Tell me more.
Okay, so in addition to vision loss,
right,
individuals with OP1 mutations might also experience hearing loss.
Oh, wow.
Problems with balance and coordination.
Okay.
Muscle weakness.
Yeah.
Even numbness and tingling in their hands and feet.
Wow. So it's not just the eyes.
Right.
It's the ears, the muscles, the nerves, too.
That's right.
That's a lot.
It is a lot.
Wow.
And in some rare cases,
yeah,
OP1 mutations have even been linked to conditions that mimic multiple sclerosis.
Oh, wow.
With damage to the protective covering of nerve fibers in the brain and spinal cord.
So you're saying a problem with these tiny mitochondrial powerhouses,
yeah,
can have such like widespread effects on the body.
It can.
It's crazy.
It really is.
It's amazing to think about.
It is. And it really underscores the importance of understanding these mitochondrial dynamics,
right,
and the role of proteins like OP1,
yeah,
in maintaining our overall health, not just vision.
It's like this whole cascade of things.
It is a cascade.
That can happen.
It can.
Wow, this is mind-blowing.
It is.
I mean, who knew that something so tiny could have such a huge impact?
I know, right?
On our bodies.
Crazy.
But before we go too far down that rabbit hole,
yeah,
let's dig deeper into those DOA plus cases you mentioned.
Okay, yeah.
So what kind of complications are we talking about?
Oh,
and how common are they?
So one study,
okay,
they looked at a large group of patients from 45 different families.
Wow, 45.
All with OP1 mutations.
Good.
And what they found was pretty striking.
Okay.
Extraocular neurological complications.
So problems beyond the eyes.
Exactly, beyond the eyes. But were present in up to 20%.
Wow, 20%.
Of the people carrying these mutations.
That's a lot of people.
It is. It's a significant portion.
So what were some of the most frequent complications?
Well, one of the most common,
yep,
was sensorineural deafness.
Sensorineural deafness.
Starting in late childhood or early adulthood.
Oh, wow.
And this type of hearing loss, it happens when there's damage to the inner ear or the nerve that carries sound to the brain.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that makes sense considering what we've talked about, the mitochondria and how important they are.
Right.
For energy production.
Exactly. Those cells in our ears, they need to be super sensitive to sound.
Right. Okay.
And they also found a lot of cases with ataxia.
Ataxia.
Which affects balance and coordination.
Okay.
Myopathy, which causes muscle weakness.
Gotcha.
And peripheral neuropathy.
Okay.
Where the nerves outside the brain and spinal cord,
right,
are damaged.
Okay.
Which can lead to weakness, numbness, and sometimes pain in the hands and feet.
And what about progressive external ophthalmoplegia?
Yes.
You mentioned that earlier.
I did.
What is that exactly?
So that involves weakness of the eye muscles,
okay,
making it difficult to move the eyes, potentially leading to double vision.
Oh, wow.
So it's not just the vision loss itself, but it's also affecting the muscles that control how our eyes move.
Wow. So on top of everything else,
right,
DOA plus can even affect how our eyes move.
Unfortunately, yeah.
It seems like this mutation can really just throw a wrench in things.
It can. It's a real monkey wrench. Yeah.
But this study that you mentioned.
Yes.
It also found some, like, less common and even more surprising presentations, right?
Absolutely, they did.
Okay, like what?
Well, they identified some folks with what looked a lot like hereditary spastic paraplegia, or HSP.
Oh, wow.
And this condition usually involves stiffness and weakness in the legs.
Okay.
And it's caused by problems with the nerves that control voluntary movement.
So an OPA1 mutation,
yeah,
can mimic a completely different neurological disorder?
It can. It,
yeah,
can. And get this.
Yeah.
They even described a case with an MS-like illness.
What?
This person had symptoms similar to optic atrophy.
Okay.
But also problems with walking and balance.
I got you.
And further tests,
yeah,
revealed lesions in the brain,
which are a hallmark of MS. So you're saying an OPA1 mutation could potentially mimic an autoimmune disease like MS?
It's possible.
That's incredible.
It is. And it really opens up a whole new way of thinking,
yeah,
about the role of mitochondria.
Right.
In a much wider range of neurological conditions.
Yeah.
Even ones that we might not typically associate,
right,
with these tiny powerhouses.
It's amazing to think that the more we learn about mitochondria, the more we realize,
yeah,
how interconnected they are to, like, so many different aspects of,
yeah,
our health.
Absolutely.
It's fascinating. But before we go too far down that road,
yeah,
let's look at the research behind DOA plus.
Okay.
So how do doctors even go about diagnosing these additional complications?
So it involves a few different approaches. They'll do genetic testing, of course.
To look for the OPA1 mutation.
Exactly, to look for those specific mutations in the OPA1 gene.
Okay.
They'll do a thorough neurological exam.
Gotcha.
Imaging studies like MRI. And electrophysiological tests to assess how well the nerves and muscles are functioning.
So it's a pretty comprehensive approach.
It is.
We get the whole picture.
It is. Whoa. And one of the things they looked at in this study was a specific section of the OPA1 gene called exon 5B.
Exon 5B, okay.
Okay, and from what I've read, this exon 5B, it's a bit of a mystery.
Yeah, tell us more.
Okay, so mutations in exon 5B have been linked to problems with the optic nerve.
Okay.
But what's strange is that they rarely cause significant vision loss.
So that's really puzzling.
It is.
Because you think that if a gene is so important for optic nerve health, that mutations would lead to
more severe problems.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so what's the thinking behind this? Why would mutations in this part of the gene have such a mild effect?
Yeah, that's a good question.
So one theory is that exon 5B, which is only found in more complex animals like vertebrates, might have something to do with regulating apoptosis.
Apoptosis, okay.
Which is basically programmed cell death.
Oh, right, right.
And it's possible that mutations in this region make cells more susceptible to dying off.
Okay.
But not to the extent that it causes major vision loss.
So it's like a milder form of dysfunction.
Yeah, that's one way to think about it.
But that still doesn't explain why it doesn't affect vision as much as other OPA1 mutations.
Right. And this is where things get even more complicated.
Oh, great.
So exon 5B isn't even present in all of the OPA1 mRNA transcripts.
Okay, now you're losing me.
I know. It's a lot. So mRNA transcripts are like the blueprints that cells use to make proteins.
Okay.
So essentially, this could mean that not all OPA1 proteins even contain this exon 5B segment.
So there's even more variation.
Yes.
Within the OPA1 protein family.
There is.
Wow.
Yeah. And that might explain why mutations in this particular section have a less severe impact.
Okay.
Because maybe those other OPA1 isoforms that don't have exon 5B can compensate.
Oh, so it's like having a backup generator.
Yes, like a backup generator.
That kicks in when the main power source goes down.
Exactly.
That's a great way to think about it.
It is a good way to think about it.
Okay. But even with that backup, there are still consequences.
Absolutely.
To having an OPA1 mutation.
There are.
Right, okay.
So now that we have a good understanding of the basics,
let's
delve into how these mutations actually lead to the cellular dysfunction you're seeing in DOA and DOA+.
All right, let's get down to the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, let's get down to it.
How do these OPA1 mutations actually mess things up at the cellular level?
All right, so at the heart of it, it all comes back to disrupting that delicate balance of mitochondrial dynamics.
Right.
Remember that constant fusion and fission dance we talked about?
Yeah, the little rave.
So when OPA1 is mutated, it can't do its job properly.
Right.
And it throws the whole equilibrium off.
The rave is over.
The rave is over.
So the mitochondria can't fuse and divide.
Yeah.
Like they're supposed to.
They can't.
So what does that lead to?
So it leads to two major problems.
Okay.
First, excessive mitochondrial fragmentation.
So they just become like little fragments.
Yeah, they become small and fragmented.
Instead of these interconnected networks.
Exactly.
You just got little tiny mitochondria.
Tiny mitochondria.
Struggling to do their job.
Just little guys.
It's like trying to power a city with a bunch of tiny generators.
That's a great way to visualize it.
Instead of a central power plant.
Absolutely.
Right.
It's not very efficient.
Not at all.
Huh.
So that's the first problem.
That's the first problem.
What's the second problem?
Second problem is cristae remodeling.
Cristae remodeling.
Yeah. Remember those folds in the inner membrane?
Right.
That are so important for energy production?
Yeah, they're vital.
They are. So when OP1 is mutated.
Yeah.
These folds become disorganized.
Oh, no.
Which can affect the efficiency of the electron transport chain.
Right. And potentially even increase the cell's likelihood of dying off.
Oh, wow. So it's like a kink in the factory's production line.
Exactly. A kink in the production line.
Slowing everything down.
Slowing everything down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's fascinating is that OPA1's role in cristae remodeling seems to be separate from its function in mitochondrial fusion.
So it's not just that the mitochondria can't fuse.
Right.
There's also this other mechanism where OP1 is affecting the inner membrane structure and how well it can produce energy.
Absolutely.
Wow. OP1 is a real multitasker.
It is.
It's involved in so many different things.
It's a busy protein.
But you mentioned earlier that it doesn't work alone.
It doesn't.
So can you tell us a little bit more about the other proteins involved?
Absolutely. So OPA1 interacts with several other proteins
Okay.
to regulate those mitochondrial dynamics.
Okay.
Two really important partners
Yeah.
are mitofuscins, MFN1 and MFN2.
MFN1 and MFN2. They're located on the outer mitochondrial membrane.
So while OP1's working on the inside, these guys are doing their thing on the outside. What do
Exactly.
they actually do?
So they essentially orchestrate the fusion process together.
Okay.
Think of it like a dance.
Okay.
OP1 brings the inner membranes together,
Yeah.
and the mitofusins help fuse the outer membrane.
So they work in sync
They work in sync
to get the job
to
done.
get the job done.
I like it.
It's teamwork.
Teamwork.
Yeah, and research has shown
Yeah.
that OP1 specifically relies on MFN1
Okay.
for this fusion to happen properly.
So they're not interchangeable.
They're not interchangeable, no.
OP1 needs MFN1 as its partner.
It needs MFN1.
Okay, I'm making a note of that.
Could.
What about other proteins involved in OP1 regulation?
Another one to keep in mind is PARL.
PyRL, okay.
Yeah, this protein acts like an editor,
Good.
cutting and shaping OP1 into those different isoforms we talked about
So
earlier.
PyRL is like the tailor,
Yes, the tailor.
making sure OP1 has the right outfit for each
Exact.
of its
For
roles.
each of its roles.
That's a great way to put it.
It is.
So those different forms
Yeah.
contribute to OP1's diverse roles in everything from apoptosis regulation
Yes.
to Christie remodeling, and of course, mitochondrial fusion.
That's right. It's a busy protein.
Wow, it's like a complex molecular dance
It is.
with all these players working together.
It really is.
And we're only just beginning to understand the
The
intricacies of
intricacies.
these interactions
Yes.
and how they influence mitochondrial dynamics and
Right.
ultimately
Ultimately,
the health of our
the
cells.
health of our cells.
This has been a truly fascinating deep dive so far.
It has.
We've learned that OP1 is much more than just a vision gene.
Way more.
It's crucial for overall mitochondrial health.
Absolutely.
And its dysfunction can lead to a whole range of neurological problems.
It can.
And there's still so much more to discover
Oh, there is.
about this protein
Yes.
and the intricate world of mitochondria.
It's amazing.
Well, I'm definitely ready to explore more of that world.
Yeah.
What else have you uncovered
Let's see.
in your research that
See.
like blew your mind?
Well, one of the most fascinating findings was the discovery of multiple mitochondrial DNA deletions in people with DOA plus.
Hold on. Mitochondrial DNA deletions.
Yay.
Now we're talking about DNA damage
Yes.
on top of the OPA1 mutation.
On top of
Tell
it,
me everything.
okay, so remember how we talked about mitochondria
Yeah.
having their own DNA
Right.
separate from the DNA in the cell's nucleus?
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that in people with DOA plus,
Okay.
a significant portion of them also have these
The
deletions or
deletions.
missing chunks in their mitochondrial DNA,
Oh, wow.
and it's particularly prevalent in their muscle cells.
Okay, so let me get this straight.
Okay.
We've got the OPA1 mutation messing with mitochondrial fusion and their structure. And now we're adding damaged DNA
We are.
to the
It
mix.
is.
Talk about a double whammy.
It's a double
All
whammy,
right.
right?
And that mitochondrial DNA, or mtDNA,
Yes.
it's responsible for making some of those crucial proteins
It
that
is.
are involved in energy production.
That's right.
So when it's damaged,
Yeah.
it can further disrupt
It can.
the mitochondria's ability to make energy,
It really can.
which potentially explains why folks with DOA plus
Yeah.
experience more severe and widespread neurological problems. It's
Exact.
like the factory's already running at half capacity because of the OPA1 mutation.
Right.
And then someone comes in and like sabotages the machinery
Sabotages the machinery.
with these DNA deletions.
That's a good way to think about it.
Yeah, but what causes these mtDNA deletions in the first place?
That is the million-dollar question.
Is it a direct result of the OPA1 mutation? Or there's something else going on?
Researchers are still working to figure out those exact mechanisms. One theory is that the impaired mitochondrial dynamics.
So that fusion and fission process.
Exactly, that's thrown off by the OPA1 mutation,
Right.
might somehow make the mtDNA more vulnerable to damage.
So it's like the mitochondria are less able to protect and repair their DNA
Yeah.
when they can't fuse and divide properly.
Yeah, it's like a city with a broken down garbage collection system.
Oh, yeah.
Things start to pile up,
Things get messy.
they get messy.
Right.
Yeah. Another theory
Oh,
is
come.
that the OPA1 mutation might directly or indirectly interfere with the processes that copy and repair mtDNA.
So problems with the DNA maintenance crew.
Exactly. Problems with the maintenance crew.
Could lead to these deletions.
That's right.
So it could be either one.
It could be either one, yeah.
Or both.
Or both.
It's a really complex puzzle.
It is.
With multiple factors potentially contributing to the problem.
Absolutely. And it really highlights the importance of considering both the nuclear DNA.
Where the OPA1 gene is located.
And the mitochondrial DNA when we're trying to understand these mitochondrial disorders.
Right.
It's not just one or the other. They're both part of the story.
They both play a role.
They do.
This is all so fascinating.
It is.
But I have to admit, it's a lot to take in.
I know. I know.
I feel like we've only just scratched the surface of this incredibly intricate world inside ourselves.
There's so much more to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything else from the research that like really jumped out at you?
Yeah. So one thing that struck me.
Yeah.
Was how the age of onset for vision problems was remarkably similar.
Okay.
Between people with DOA plus.
Right.
And those with isolated optic atrophy.
So those who only experience vision loss.
Exactly.
Okay.
Most individuals in both groups started experiencing symptoms by the age of 15.
So regardless of whether or not someone develops those additional neurological problems.
Yeah.
The vision problems tend to show up around the same time.
Around the same time.
That's interesting.
It is.
But does that mean that the severity of the vision loss is also the same?
That's where things diverge a bit.
Go ahead.
While the initial onset might be similar,
yeah.
The study found that people with DOA plus
okay.
tended to have worse visual acuity or sharpness of vision
right.
at the time of their last eye exam
okay.
compared to those with only DOA.
So even though the vision problems start around the same age,
right.
those with DOA plus
yes.
experience more severe vision loss.
Yes, over time.
Over time. That makes me wonder if those additional neurological complications
yeah.
somehow accelerate or worsen the damage to the optic nerve.
That's a great question, and it's certainly possible.
Yeah.
But more research is needed to really understand
yeah.
the exact relationship between those different complications.
Right.
And the progression of vision loss in DOA plus.
This deep dive into OP1 and mitochondrial dynamics has been truly eye-opening.
It has.
I feel like I've gained a whole new appreciation
Good.
For the complexity and importance
they are amazing.
Of these tiny powerhouses within ourselves.
They are.
But before we wrap things up,
yes.
I'm curious to hear your final thoughts on the research.
Okay.
What does it all mean for the future of understanding and treating these conditions?
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
The implications of this research extend far beyond just OPA1 and DOA.
Okay.
It really underscores the importance of considering mitochondrial dysfunction
yeah.
in a much broader context.
Right.
We're talking about a potential paradigm shift
oh, wow.
in how we think about a whole range of neurological conditions
yeah.
and maybe even diseases that seem totally unrelated
right.
at first glance.
So we're moving away from seeing mitochondria as simply the powerhouses of the cell.
And starting to recognize them as like key players
yeah.
in a much wider range of cellular processes.
Exactly. We now know they're involved in everything from cellular signaling.
Yes.
And calcium regulation to controlling programmed cell death.
That's right.
And even modulating immune responses.
Wow. It's amazing.
And when things go wrong in any of these areas.
Right.
It can have cascading effects.
Absolutely, throughout the body.
It can affect the whole system.
So it's like adding another layer
yeah.
to our diagnostic toolkit.
It is.
When we're trying to figure out what's going on with a patient.
Right.
Especially if they're presenting with like a complex neurological picture.
Absolutely. And even if mitochondrial dysfunction isn't the primary cause.
Right.
It could be a contributing factor.
Yeah, like it could be making the disease worse.
Exactly, making things worse.
Yeah.
And as we delve deeper.
Yeah.
Into the molecular mechanisms behind these mitochondrial disorders,
right.
we're likely to uncover new therapeutic targets.
Oh, that's great.
And strategies
yeah.
that could potentially make a real difference in people's lives.
That's what we want.
That's the goal.
So speaking of therapeutics,
yeah,
is there anything promising on the horizon
Whoa.
For treating DOA and DOA plus M?
There's no cure yet.
Okay. But there is a lot of exciting research happening.
Okay.
One promising avenue.
Yeah.
Is gene therapy.
Gene therapy. Okay.
Where the goal is to deliver a healthy copy of the OPA1 gene
okay.
to those affected cells.
So basically replacing the faulty gene with a functional one.
Exactly. That's the idea.
Wow. That would be amazing.
It would be amazing.
That's a real beacon of hope.
It is.
For people with these conditions.
Absolutely. It's still in the early stages,
Okay.
but there have been some encouraging results in preclinical studies,
Okay.
which means they're testing it out in animals before moving to human trials.
That's great. So it's moving along.
It is. It's moving along.
Are there any other approaches being explored?
Absolutely. Another strategy focuses on tackling those consequences of OPA1 mutations
Okay.
rather than the gene itself.
So not trying to fix the gene, but
Right.
dealing with the fallout.
Exactly, dealing with the fallout.
Okay.
So, for example, researchers are looking into compounds that can boost mitochondrial biogenesis,
Mitochondrial biogenesis.
which is the process of creating new mitochondria.
Oh, wow.
So the idea is,
So even if the existing mitochondria aren't working at their best,
right,
we can just make more
we can make more,
to
yeah,
kind of pick up the slack.
to pick up the slack,
It's like
exactly.
building more factories
That's a great way to put
to
it.
make up for the ones that aren't running efficiently.
Yes,
I
exactly.
love that.
It's a good analogy.
Are there any other potential treatments that are being looked at?
Yeah, researchers are also working on developing antioxidants
Okay.
and other protective agents
Gotcha.
that can help reduce the oxidative stress and damage
Okay.
caused by mitochondrial dysfunction.
So kind of like giving those
Yeah,
cells some extra support
exactly, giving them some
for
support
cope with the energy shortage.
to help them cope.
So it's a multi-pronged approach,
It is.
targeting both the genetic defect and the cellular fallout.
And the fallout.
It seems like a smart strategy,
It does, yeah.
given how complex these conditions are.
It is a very complex condition.
Right.
Right.
And as our understanding of OP1 and mitochondrial dynamics continues to grow,
Yeah.
we'll be better equipped
We will.
to develop even more targeted and effective therapies
Absolutely.
for these disorders.
That's the hope.
We're just at the beginning of this journey,
We are.
and there's so much more to learn and discover.
There is.
This has been an incredible deep dive,
It has been.
and I feel like I've gained a whole new appreciation
The
for the complexity and importance
are
of
amazing.
these tiny
They
powerhouses
are. They are.
within ourselves.
Yeah.
What stands out to you
Yeah.
as like the most significant takeaway?
I think the key message here
Yeah.
is that OPA1 is so much more than just a vision gene.
Yeah.
It's essential for maintaining the health of our mitochondria,
Right.
which has implications for a wide range of neurological functions
Yeah.
and potentially even for our overall health and lifespan. We're just beginning to understand
Yeah.
the full scope of its influence.
That's a powerful statement.
It
And it
is.
leaves us with much to ponder.
It does.
I'm curious, if we consider the wide-ranging effects of OP1 mutations
Yeah.
and this emerging understanding of mitochondrial dysfunction
Right.
in other diseases, could there be a link to conditions
It's possible.
we haven't even considered yet?
It's a very good question.
Like, are we just seeing the tip of the iceberg?
It's definitely possible. I mean, given how fundamental mitochondria are to
Yeah.
every single cell in our body,
Right,
it's
yeah.
certainly possible that
Yeah.
their dysfunction could be a contributing factor to a whole range of health problems,
Right.
even those that seem completely unrelated on what
Yeah.
we've discussed today.
Wow. It's both exciting and a little bit overwhelming
I
to
know.
think about the vast
Ooh,
possibilities,
vast
right?
possibilities are endless.
Like we've opened this
We
door
have
to a whole new
a
understanding
whole new world.
of health and disease.
It's very exciting.
I know.
It is,
I
isn't
know
it?
it's a lot to think about.
It really is.
But I, for one, I'm hooked.
I'm glad.
This deep dive has just given me
Yeah.
like a renewed sense of wonder
Good.
and a thirst for more knowledge.
That's what we
I know,
want.
right?
We keep learning.
Okay, so before we wrap up,
Yeah.
I want to circle back
Good.
to something you said earlier about the potential treatments
Yes.
for DOA and DOA
Yeah,
plus.
right.
You mentioned gene therapy, boosting mitochondrial biogenesis,
Yes.
and even using antioxidants to protect against damage.
That's right.
So, are there any like specific research efforts or clinical trials that you're like particularly excited about?
Yeah, there are a few that I'm following very closely.
Okay.
One involves using gene editing techniques
Okay.
to actually correct the OPA1 mutation
Wow.
in those affected cells.
So instead of just giving a good copy of the gene,
Yeah.
you're actually going in and editing the bad one.
We're going in and fixing it. It's
Wow.
still very early,
Yeah.
but the potential is huge.
That would be incredible
It would be amazing.
to just permanently fix
Yeah.
that
Yeah.
underlying genetic defect.
It would be a game changer.
Yeah.
It would.
What about approaches that focus on like improving mitochondrial function? rather than directly fixing the gene.
So there's some really cool work being done with small molecules that can enhance mitochondrial biogenesis or improve the efficiency of the electron transport chain.
So kind of like giving those powerhouses a tune-up.
Exactly, giving them a tune-up.
Yeah.
And another area that holds a lot of promise is the development of therapies that target specific downstream consequences of OP1 mutations.
Okay.
So for example, if we can identify the pathways that lead to hearing loss or muscle weakness in DOA plus, we might be able to develop drugs that block those pathways and prevent or slow down the progression of those symptoms.
So it's a multifaceted approach.
It is.
Attacking the problem from different angles.
It's many different angles.
Wow, that's incredible.
It is.
And the more we learn about the intricate workings of OP1 and its role in mitochondrial dynamics, the better equipped we'll be to develop targeted and effective therapies.
Absolutely.
For these complex disorders.
That's the goal.
This has been an absolutely incredible deep dive.
It has been.
Thank you so much for guiding us through this world.
It was my pleasure.
I know you're super passionate about it.
I am. I am.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on this journey.
Yes. Thank you.
Into the microscopic universe within ourselves.
It's an amazing world in there.
I know, right?
Yeah.
We hope you've gained a new appreciation for the power and the importance of those tiny little powerhouses.
The mighty mitochondria.
We call mitochondria.
That's right.
And remember,
the
quest for knowledge
never ends.
Never ends. So keep exploring.
Keep learning.
Keep learning and keep asking questions.
Yes.
Who knows what amazing discoveries await us just around the corner.
That's right.
Until next time, stay curious.